Today's Bible reading comes from Acts 24 and is titled Paul's Trial Before Felix. 5 days later, the high priest Ananias went down to Caesarea with some of the elders and a lawyer named Tertullus, and they brought their charges against Paul before the governor. When Paul was called in, Tertullus presented his case before Felix. "We have enjoyed a long period of peace under you, and your foresight has brought about reforms in this nation. Everywhere and in every way, most excellent Felix, we acknowledge this with profound gratitude. But in order not to weary you further, I would request that you be kind enough to hear us briefly. We have found this man to be a troublemaker, stirring up riots among the Jews all over the world. He is a ringleader of the Nazarene sect and even tried to desecrate the temple, so we seized him. By examining him yourself, you'll be able to learn the truth about all these charges we are bringing against him." The other Jews joined in the accusation, asserting that these things were true. When the governor motioned for him to speak, Paul replied, "I know that for a number of years you have been a judge over this nation, so I gladly make my defence. You can easily verify that no more than 12 days ago I went up to Jerusalem to worship. My accusers did not find me arguing with anyone at the temple or stirring up a crowd in the synagogues or anywhere else in the city, and they cannot prove to you the charges they are now making against me. However, I admit that I worship the God of our ancestors as a follower of the way, which they call a sect. I believe everything that is in accordance with the law and that is written in the prophets, and I have the same hope in God as these men themselves have, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. After an absence of several years, I came to Jerusalem to bring my people gifts for the poor and to present offerings. I was ceremonially clean when they found me in the temple courts doing this. There was no crowd with me, nor was I involved in any disturbance. But there are some Jews from the province of Asia who ought to be here before you and bring charges if they have anything against me. These who are here should state what crime they found in me when I stood before the Sanhedrin. Unless it was this one thing I shouted as I stood in their presence, it is concerning the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you today." Then Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, adjourned the proceedings. When Lysias the commander comes, he said, "I will decide your case." He ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give him some freedom and permit his friends to take care of his needs. Several days Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, who was Jewish. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you." At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe. So he sent for him frequently and talked with him. When 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. But because Felix wanted to grant a favour to the Jews, he left Paul in prison.
Well, here we are. Felix has now got Paul on trial, and there's a lot of nervous people, as there often is in a courtroom, and there will be some nervous people here today. But conspiracy theories, we love a conspiracy theory, don't we? They all offer that big explanation for some big event which is shrouded in controversy, and there have been some beauties over the years, haven't there? Okay, let's have a look at a few. The moon landing was a fake. It didn't really happen. Man didn't walk on the moon. It was just a Hollywood set. They filmed one rocket blasting off and just replayed this rocket launching all the time because NASA needed to save a whole bunch of money. Who shot John F. Kennedy? We all know it was an FBI plot, don't we? And it was the gunman on the grassy knoll that shot him, wasn't it? And that's why they got rid of their chief suspect there, because he would have squealed and told them what was going on. Bigfoot, you know, there's film of it, isn't there? And look, we found the missing link. Here he is, this Sasquatch in Canada running around. And so we know that man actually came from these creatures. What about Paul McCartney is dead from the 1960s? This was good. He had a car accident. He was replaced with a lookalike. And they've got all these clues in the lyrics of their songs on their album covers. And they've got this guy who has just done all the things. And so the Paul McCartney we've got now is not the original one there. And I wonder if I've wasted my money going to see him in a couple of months' time. But anyway,
he's better than the original.
Must be. And what about the palace actually arranged for Princess Diana to be murdered by the paparazzi because she was going to marry a Muslim? And so there's all these conspiracy theories coming up trying to explain these things here, but this one absolutely floored me. Unknown wins golf major championship. A complete unknown ex-dentist has come out of nowhere to win the prestigious US Masters Golf Champion in Augusta National. You can't make this up. I mean, the things that you find on the internet is just incredible, isn't it? You can't make this stuff up. You can't make this up. Look, Watergate was a good example of a political conspiracy. It actually happened. And even this week, the suspicious deaths of three people who ate a meal containing poisonous mushrooms. So watch that Wednesday, Channel 9 at 8:40, under investigation with Liz Hayes. Yep, you'll find out, because the truth is always out there. And look, we've got the Trump conspiracy that happened. You know, it's still in the news. There's always conspiracies going on. And we've been studying Acts, and today we reached the trial. And this trial of Paul was all about a conspiracy that had been going on amongst the Jews for years and years. And we came up with alternative titles for the book of Acts at the beginning, didn't we? And perhaps we've got another one. Acts, the Paul Conspiracy, the plot to rid the world of Christianity forever. So, we've gone through last week and we saw this conspiracy plot of these 40 Jewish people were going to stop at nothing until they had killed Paul. And Paul knew he must get through this ridiculously difficult time, as Tim put it, that seems to be occurring in Jerusalem. And so these Jews that had troubled him in Asia, Ephesus, Macedonia, all these places, they are going to try and stop Paul. And nothing's going to stop them. They were serious, okay? They had a passion to kill Paul. They were committed to the task. The declaration was, there's no way known to man that we will fail. But as Tim showed us last week, God intervenes. We did find out, though, that there was a mole in the ranks, wasn't there? There's always, in these conspiracy stories, there's someone who's got wind of it and they're going to spill the beans. And Paul's nephew, who we're introduced to, he goes to the commander Lysias last week and he warns him of this danger that's going to happen. So what does Lysias do? He says, gosh, I don't want this to happen. So he gets a couple of guys to try and guard Paul. No, 470 men, soldiers, horsemen, by the cover of night, and they take Paul all the way down from Jerusalem to Caesarea to hand him over to the control of Governor Felix. Now, Lysias could have just said, pull the other one, as if that is ever going to happen. So we now find Paul here in chains in Caesarea, under the jurisdiction of this Roman governor of the whole province of Judea, one Governor Felix. But Paul knows this is now just the next step in his journey to Rome. So here we have Paul on trial. The trial begins, and these next three chapters, 24, 25, 26, do not miss these next few weeks, because this is the big climax of this book of Acts. And it could be seen that up to this point, these first 23 chapters, Luke's really just been presenting all this circumstantial evidence that they would have against Paul. Felix seems to be in a difficult situation here. Does he set Paul free or not? The case for the prosecution is, if Paul and the other believers keep persuading more Jews to believe in a resurrected Jesus, their establishment, this holy temple, would lose its power. It would lose its privilege that they'd been given to them by the Romans. And more importantly, they would lose money. In John 11:48, we have read the same fear they had when Jesus raised Lazarus. They came up with the same reason. And we've seen from Matthew's gospel that the Sanhedrin from the start sought to conceal the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus and to discredit it right from the start. This conspiracy had been going on for over 30 years. And Paul is asserting the high priest is claiming to speak for all Jews, and that is not true. So what's the implication for Felix's position here? Either way, his job as governor could be severely under threat depending on the decision he makes. So Felix says, oh, well, I'll just have a few private conversations with this guy I've got in custody, and that's a decision he will regret, because Paul gives Felix the fear of God message as he talks to him. As we read, it says Felix was afraid of what he was hearing. So both options are detrimental. Do I keep him in custody? Do I release him? Until he finds, aha, the moment. I'll just see if this guy will bribe me. Because if I can get Paul to give me money, he's going to shut up. He's not going to squeal on me. He'll leave me alone. This will enable me to set him free. That didn't work. And so we conclude with verse 27, which says, and when 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and desiring to do the Jews a favour, Felix left Paul in prison. So that's where we find, as we get to the end of this, Paul is now here in prison. The 2 years that Felix had been Roman governor was coming to an end, and he probably knew that, so he just stalled for time until his time ran out. But as we said, God is in control. Why was God allowing this to happen to Paul? Well, we know that while Paul's nice and safe there in jail and getting visits from people, he gets to write several epistle letters to his church friends in Macedonia and Asia Minor. Once again, God intervenes. It's the perfect ending. But is it? Well, it's another great saga in the life of Paul. God's in control. Despite it seeming that maybe things still aren't quite working out right. But as we heard last week, the safety harness is still on. After all, this is the part of the trial. Paul is fighting for his one declaration that he wants the world to hear. And did you pick it? This is it. Verse 14, but this I confess to you, I worship the God of our ancestors, believing everything written in the Jewish legal and history books, having the hope in God because of the resurrection of Jesus, that there will also be a resurrection to eternal life, a judgment to both the just and the unjust. So nothing else considered, the most important statement, Paul, and for that matter, both you and I, can make is in our defence before a condemning world, is this. I stand here to testify that the salvation given to me, provided solely through the resurrection of Jesus Christ of Nazareth from the dead, and by and through him, I have forgiveness for my past, I have a purpose for living today, and I have a hope for my eternal future. Paul's life, his testimony and courage in the face of peril is well documented. But how about your life? Is it self-evident that Jesus is not only your saviour, but also Lord of your life? I hope that you do have a full and total assurance of this. If you were put on trial, what would you say in your defence. And make no bones about it, we may be entering times in which you may be made to make that declaration, which could be, like Paul, putting your life at risk. If you don't know that, you're assured of that, make that stand today. Make it now. If you want to do so, then don't leave today without speaking to Tim or myself. Don't be a Felix and just put it off until it's too late. The whole message of this whole trial is about Paul making that declaration, and so should we. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that you have come and rescued us. You have provided that salvation through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And an unbelieving world just seems to find that unbelievable. But Lord, we believe it. And we are your people. And we pray that you will give us the strength, the boldness, and the courage to be like Paul in a time of trial, or maybe even just in our daily lives, to be able to stand up and speak and say, I stand here because I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Father, be with us through your Holy Spirit as we go from here, that we may proclaim your message into the future, and that we may rest on that hope and security and surety of what you have done for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.